I hope we never take for granted how beautiful it is to be together each week and do what we do. And this special Super Bowl Sunday, 2029, we spoke the prophecy over the Panthers in first service. We'll have a different answer to this question in 2029 than we do now, but I know what's coming. It breaks my heart, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. Make some noise if you're for the Chiefs tonight. Make some noise if you're for them Eagles. And make some noise if you do not care. It wins every year, and it hurts my feelings every year. But in 2029, it'll be a different answer because our Panthers will be there. And I want to remind you how important this Super Bowl contest is. It changes lives. We have evidence in the room. Alex Dumas, is it not true that your career took off when you won the Super Bowl contest, Relentless Church 2023? 1,000% true. On the front row here, I didn't realize both your boys won the Super Bowl contest. I don't know what's going on with David and Kelly, but Adam in 21, Caleb in 24, they're now Dean's List College, I think. I'm making that up, but I'm telling you, all are welcome. Pick the winning team, get the right score, you win a prize. But more importantly than the prize, we will announce your name and your life will forever be changed because you'll be a 2025 Super Bowl contest winner. We have a legit grew up in Kansas City Chiefs fan in first service at our church. I just feel so bad for him. I'm so sorry the whole world hates your team. But it's going to be a fun night. But enough of that. Let's get into this brand new series. It's building off our progress series. We're still all about progress. How to build a relationship with an invisible God. And we build it as a how-to series. So that's why we're going to do things a tad different. I'm going to throw a lot at you. I don't want you to feel like class, but I do want you to learn. So hopefully we can accomplish both of those things. So the big answer to how to, get rid of that Super Bowl. That'll distract people. People will be thinking about other things. How to build a relationship with God is always through Jesus. First and foremost, it starts with that. So that's offensive in 2025, but Jesus is the one that said it. If you want to come to the one we call God, you got to come through Jesus. So if you're going to build a relationship with God, it's got to be through Jesus. That is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the gospel that we're built on, that Jesus came to us because we couldn't get to him. And some of us are still living under old religious structures where God is holy, which he still is, but we can't come to him because he's holy and we're just scared and cowering. And the reason we can come to an holy God is because Jesus made a way. He came so we didn't have to come to him in terror, but we could come into him in peace, that Jesus made peace on the cross for us so we can actually have a relationship. So we're using that word on purpose. It's how to build a relationship. Just like you have relationships with people in this room, you can have a relationship with an invisible God that's conversational, relational, life-changing, and real. And the first way to do that, everything in this series is going to flow out of, it's got to be through Jesus. But today we want to talk about, underneath that, we want to build a relationship with God specifically through Scripture. Now, we use the word Scripture, we use the word text. Some people would even call this a Bible, which is an interesting word. I don't refer to it as that. What I never call this is a book, because it is not. And we will get to that and unpack that. But the reason this is so important is because it claims to be, and our church is built on it, as a standard. Meaning, the answer to the question comes from God because the revelation of God, that he revealed himself to us. So when we're not sure what's true or when culture decides this or that, we can actually go somewhere for a standard of truth. We don't have to guess. He reveals his truth to us in a lot of ways, but mainly through his Scripture. Let me use a real touch point, February 2025. If somebody's listening to this in the future, you got to figure it out. But the word equity that is causing so much, like we don't have, I got this opinion. I don't think equity, your opinion doesn't matter. We don't have to speak for God and put words in his mouth. He spoke for himself, right? God says that he loves justice. He reveals that to himself and he hates injustice, right? So God is for equity. That's not an opinion, right? He speaks for himself. So we don't have to have all these arguments about, well, I think God this. Well, who cares what I think about God? If without this, it's just every church for themselves, every pastor for themselves, every human for themselves. We can all just make up, here's what I think God says, right? No opinions are valid. He revealed himself to end all of that so we can know who he is and what he's about. That's the purpose of this, to let us know who he is, what moves his heart, what the purpose of all life and everything with it is. Tomorrow night, we'll be in here, fellas. You're invited. Men, for our huddle, second Monday of every month. Third Monday is the women. But you're invited, if you're a male, to come. And we've been talking about how God views us. And every month, we talk about how God views us. The men have been trying to steer the conversation to sin. They just so want to talk about sin. Well, what about when we sin? Well, God loves you. But what about when I... So finally, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how does God view us in the exact moment of our sin. And there'll be opinions, and all opinions are welcome and valid, but some of those opinions will be built on something. And it's not an education, it's not a degree. Some of those opinions are built on what God's word says. That's what we stand on, that there is truth. There is a truth that doesn't change century to century, culture to culture, issue to issue. And without scripture, then we're kind of all on our own. The brilliance of God's plan, that he would give us what truth is that would last, that we could count on all these years after this was written. Like, that's crazy that we can still count on it. It only makes sense if it's actually God's word. So when I say this isn't a book, this is why. Because you have books. Some of you read books for fun, which is crazy, right? Some of you read books for school because you have to. But when you think of book, you have all that connotation. That's not what this is, right? This is 40 different authors written over 1,600 years in three different languages with one basic story purpose of the entire scripture, which is the relentless God who's chasing us with his love and a desire to have a relationship with us. That is Genesis to Revelation, and everything in between is about having a real relationship with God. We're about relationship, not religion. And just like everything else, this can be used as a religious book, something you can read, or it can be used to develop a relationship. And I'm going to share with you a lot of verses from different scriptures. I think it's important how to build a relationship with an invisible God starts with how you view this. Like, what are you thinking when you open this up? Hey, pastor talked about it. I'm going to go read the Bible today. I'm just going to flip it up. No, don't do that, right? That's not how to build a relationship with God through scripture. You got to understand what it's claiming to be and what we believe it is, not just claims. So let me look at some verses with you. The book of Acts is the story of the early church, our ancestors in this multi-ethnic movement from the book of Acts, chapter 17. Says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than in Thessalonica. Now, that's rude, right? The Berean Jews were better, more character. Why? For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Well, Paul's an apostle. Shouldn't you take him for his word? I'm the pastor. Shouldn't you take me for my word? Not according to scripture. I'm not the standard. Paul wasn't the standard. The standard was scripture. They tested Paul and didn't assume, well, he's telling me the truth because, you know, he's got a nice beard, which we know Paul had a nice beard. Why? Because it's in the scripture. It's not in the scripture. If you don't know that, then I can just lead you on all kinds of crazy stuff about Paul's beard, which is lies. You got to know what's in here. And that's where we struggle, because there's all kinds of things coming at us as people of Jesus, as a multi-ethnic movement. And some are true and some aren't. How do we know? This is the standard we got to go back to. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, we thank God constantly for this, that when you Christians in this city called Thessalonica, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. You received it as the word of God. You cannot convince me if I take somebody from this side who's like, I'm going to read the Bible today, right? Some, I don't know Paul, but he's an interesting character. I'm going to read what Paul has to say about God. And then somebody over here reads the exact same thing, and they said, no, it's not from Paul. Paul's just the one who wrote it down. But the God who created me actually wrote this and declared this and revealed this. You're going to come away with two completely different things. So what you believe in your faith, is this a man book, or is this a, it's not a book at all. We always say it's a God book. It's a collection. It's a revelation of God. It is the actual word of God. Does God still speak? He does. He speaks a lot of ways, but mainly it is his word that transcends time, generation. There'll never be a culture or a generation or a language where it's not still true and relevant. Hebrews, the word of God is living and active. That's supernatural. I don't know if you've read a book. You haven't read a book that's living and active. Maybe Harry Potter, but that's weird. But the word of God is alive and active. How so? It's sharper than any sword, pierces our soul and spirit, discerns this text, this revelation is able to discern what you're thinking and what your heart's about, Right? Some of you that have spent time in a relationship with God through Scripture, you felt that. Like, whoa, this is doing something inside of me. That's a good thing. Don't be scared of that. 2 Timothy, all Scripture. Whoa, what's he talking about? We're talking about all Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. We just talked about training last week. Training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Implying that without Scripture, you're not going to be equipped to live the life that God's called you to live. All Scripture is breathed by God. Man didn't come up with this about God. God actually breathed it. He cheated, and he gave us what he says is true through not a book, but through his revealed truth in the Word of God. Acts 2, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's Scripture, what we would call the New Testament. John 14, this is huge. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said to you." And he's saying that to the disciples. So the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like you think, well, how did they get that right? And thankfully, if you're worried about that, there's all kinds of TikToks about maybe you can't trust this and that. The deeper you go in intellectually, scholarly studying, the more dependable the Scripture comes. So you don't have to worry about that. You can count on it. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew and John were in this conversation. Like, well, how can, because they wrote that sometimes 10, 20, 30 years after Jesus. How do we know they got it right? Well, because God cheated. He gave them an advocate. We call it the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit actually wrote the Scripture that the Holy Spirit said, hey, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send that to you. You don't understand it yet, but it's coming. And through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you what to write. I'm going to remind you of this stuff that you may forget so that when we get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark and Luke depended on those that were with Jesus. Matthew and John were with Jesus. Peter was in this conversation. He wrote two letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. Interesting that we call them 1st and 2nd Peter since Peter wrote them. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to do the work, and we're going to get. So in February 2025, Relentless Church can know what's in here is exactly what God wanted it to be in here, not what Peter wanted in here, not what Paul wanted in here. No, it was through the Holy Spirit that Scripture was given to us. Let's talk about what Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1. Above all, you must understand, this is a big deal, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Well, that makes me feel better because I don't trust people. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing all the work. He carried these humans to give us not human ideas, but God's truth. And what is Scripture? We said all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, what are we talking about when we're talking about Scripture? Isn't that just the Old Testament? Isn't that what they had when this was written? It was just, no. Scripture is Old and New Testament, all of it. 2 Peter 3, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, amen, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other Scriptures to their own destruction. So even Peter, as they knew what they were writing was not from them. When you're getting carried along by the Holy Spirit, you know it. So even in New Testament times, they recognized that Paul's writings were indeed from God and Scripture. Finally, I want to share John that was written or said from Jesus to religious people. Because, you know, last week, you know, I was making fun of my mom about how she worked out, right? If you don't know what I'm doing, you know, just go back and watch that because I just realized that makes no sense if you weren't here last week. But talking about going through the motions. You can study Scripture wrong, right? There's a way to believe that, hey, as long as you're in this book, it's a good thing. It's not. Here's what Jesus said to the religious people. He said, the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You've never heard his voice. That's harsh. You've never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You study the Scriptures and think you're going to heaven because you study. That's religion. He said the Scriptures you're studying are about one thing, me. Eternal life comes from me, not from the Scriptures about me. So we say this morning, we're not trying to get you to read something. We're trying to get you to know somebody. And we're telling you one of the best ways, not the only way, but I would say the primary way to get to know God is through his revelation that we call Scripture. All right, so don't just read something, know somebody. Did you see that on the screen? There you go. It's such a good statement. I wanted you to see it. Because when you see stuff, say stuff, as we'll see here in a second. But if there's one slide that maybe would win the most common slide on the screen since we've been in this building almost more than 6 years now, believe it or not, it'd be this next slide. My number one priority today is to spend quality time with God. We put that up so much. We believe that. We've built our leadership structure on that. I believe that's true for me, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus. My number one priority today is to spend quality time with God. And God, through his word and through my relationship with him, really convicted me. We've said that, and we believe that. But there's folks among us that just hang their head because that's the most important thing about my day, to spend quality time with God. I don't know how to do that. And you're just making me feel bad about myself because I can go and I don't know how to do this thing and I don't know what that means and I don't know, he's invisible. I don't know how to do this. So let's take some time and talk about the how, because if we're saying this is true, my number one priority is to spend quality time with God, and we don't help you know how, then that's cruel, right? So there's a lot of ways to spend quality time with God with Scripture. You can go, people say, I like to go out in the woods and just be with God. Great. Take the Scripture next time. But that's not, it's not right and wrong ways. Let me just show you how to, I'm going to show you what this looks like for me. I'm going to do a very quick version because if I do the whole thing, I'll cry and we'll be here till 3 o'clock. So on the screen here, I got to delete that because that was first service. You don't know that. All right, so this is how I spend quality time with God through Scripture. Doesn't mean you need to do it this way, but just want to show you what this could like. So Saturday, February 8th, that was yesterday. What I would do is I would be debriefing. DB is debrief, not defensive back. I would be at the end of Colossians 2, and then at the end of the day, yesterday, what I do is I got Colossians 3 over here, just Bible Gateway, copy and paste the whole chapter. I'm taking the first four verses, and I'm going to type them out. So as I type it out, it gets into my soul. And when you read something, say something, write something, type something, we have all kinds of, I don't have to prove that to you. It's just something different happens. So I type every book of the Bible I've ever gone through verse by verse, I've typed out. So over time, I've typed the entire New Testament, not the entire Old Testament, because I believe that something happens different when it goes through my fingers. I read it out loud. So yesterday, I studied the end of chapter 2. I debriefed that. You don't need to know about that. And I just typed out Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And that's how I ended my study. Now, Sunday, February 9th, I'm going to come in, and now I'm going to debrief. I didn't just read it or type it. Now I want God to speak to me through it. So this is what takes a really long time. I can't do it in front of you because it would be like a play, and we don't do that. But I'm asking God to speak. If you give me the Timothy scripture, all right, this is real. This will change your time with God. Some of you are already doing time with God. Remember, Paul said, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. That he'll show up. It'll blow you away. He will show up at your kitchen table, your closet, wherever. He will give you insight. He will match up what's coming, a conversation you didn't know was coming. He'll meet you in the Word on Monday morning. You're having somebody come to you Monday afternoon. He's like, hey, you got to help me. He's like, hey, you know what? I just read something this morning. Isn't that weird? No, it's not weird because it's a relationship, and he's real, and it's living and active, and he just wants you to give him a chance to show how real he is in Scripture. So I've got to get in the mindset. I'm not reading a book. I'm not doing this as my pastor homework. I'm doing this to build a relationship with my God. And I'm expecting him to show up in Scripture and to give me insight of what I don't know, what I need to know. So that's my approach. And then I'm going to go into Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, that advocate, highlight what you want me to highlight, right? So I don't have time to do that because it takes time to do it correctly. So I'm reading this. I've been raised with Christ. That's cool. Set your hearts on things. That's a command. Set my heart. So I'm always going to place your with my set my heart. That's a prayer, isn't it? Set my heart on things above, all right? Who knows what this day brings? It's Super Bowl Sunday. I don't think that's a above thing. I think that's an earthly thing, but my heart's supposed to be on things above. You know, people came to 9 a.m. service just because they had that much to cook. I don't know what you cook that takes 8-10 hours, but they people never came to 9 a.m. Like, what are you doing? It's like, Super Bowl, we got to get ready. Okay, I need to get in the invite to some of these places with ribs. But see, that's not things above. So you see how easy it is to get distracted? Set your mind on things above. Verse 2, not on earthly things. See, that's so helpful for me because I'm a simple man. I need to know what he's talking about. I need to set my mind on things above. Instead of, oh, it's really intimidating to spell right in front of y'all in real time. So instead of earthly things, it's an opposite. It sounds like as I read this out loud, I can either put my heart and mind on things above or earthly things, not both. So today, I want to do my mind on things above. Verse 3, it says, for you died. That's a lie. I never died. Scripture's lying to me. Can't trust it. See, it just disproved it. I'm here. I'm alive. It says I died. It's wrong. I'm right. For your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So that sticks out to me. Christ, not Krista, who is my life. That's easy to write, right? But is that true? So I would take some time to reflect. Is my life centered around the gospel? Is Christ my life? If everything in my life gets taken away, is Jesus enough? I would probably make a list of some things that that could be in competition for my life. Just being real with God, you know? Sometimes, God, it's not Jesus who's my life. Sometimes it's blank that is my life. Sometimes it's a seeking of this. I'd get real and raw with him and just ask him to speak. And after I do all that, pray through all that, ask God to speak to me through all that. And again, this isn't the pastor's way. This is anybody in the room. I don't care if you're sixth grade, never read the Bible, or, you know, you're whatever. Education doesn't matter. You can study the Bible. You can create and build a relationship with God. And it's very simple. This is four verses. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, shouldn't you do more? I hope not. All right, sometimes it's one verse for me because I want to build a relationship. All right. So there's nothing in Scripture that indicates the volume of Scripture you read is bonus points. There are no bonus points. It's just, are you building a relationship? And anybody can do this. So my takeaways or my nuggets, whatever I would call them, are set heart on things above and Christ is my life. So that's what I'm trying to remember. So here's how I kind of gauge if I really sat down and spent time with God. So I try to do this in the morning, two times, lunch and bedtime. I don't know why dinner gets skipped, but in my mind, at lunch, I'm asking myself, what were the takeaways today? And when I put my head on my pillow, can I remember the takeaways from this morning? Often I can't, right? I'm growing, I'm working on it. But the goal is that I had a moment with Jesus in his word that actually goes with me, and I didn't forget it by lunch, and I didn't forget it by bedtime. Well, don't you forget it a few days later. It's in my soul. It's in my spirit. There's a Holy Spirit that's working it out, and it matters. But let me go back to this, for you died, because I want to help people this morning, right? Let's say I don't understand what that's talking about. I didn't die, right? So we're going to go over here to the World Wide Web, all right? And I'm going to show you a few good websites. We're going to go to... And these will all be connected to the message, because I don't know if you can see how. So enduringword.com is a great one. One, because it's got Spanish commentary and all kinds of other languages. But I'm going to go to English, because that's the language I'm best at. And I'm going to go to Colossians. See how simple that is? And it's just going to break down, and it's going to help me study this. Now, unfortunately, even though I like this website, it gives me nothing about how I've died. It skips right over that. Sometimes they don't hit every phrase. And for whatever reason, just to make me look foolish, this guy did not say anything about that phrase, for you died. So I'm going to give you three. The second one is called freebiblecommentary.org. And I'm going to go to New Testament Studies. I'm going to go to I'm going to go to Colossians. And I'm going to go to Colossians 3. Anybody can do this. In 2025, there's no reason anybody can't understand the Bible. All right, so I'm going to come down here and I'm going to find that phrase, for you have died. There we go. This is another image based on baptism. Oh, well, maybe I have died because I was baptized. To describe believers' new standing in Christ. Believers are dead to sin, alive to God. They're admonished to recognize their new standing in Christ and emulate him. That's helpful because now I understand that my death is connected to my baptism. I've been buried with Christ. But, you know, just in case this guy could be wrong because he's not God, let me go to my third, which is my favorite. It is a technical website. Actually, don't do it that way. Let's go to, we'll just Google Precept Austin because it's such a technical website. It'll take you all kinds of places. I want to go Precept Austin. I don't even know what that means. It's just a great website. Colossians 3, I want the commentary. Don't go to the resources. That'll take about a decade to get through. And I'm going to go to my exact verse, Colossians 3:3. All right, and it says, for you have died, and it gives me the Greek words, and it tells me what the word, I mean, it breaks it down word by word, for. The word Greek is gar. Now, you learned something at church today, gar. All right, you have died. Here we go. Oh, I didn't mean to click that. We don't need to get to the Greek lexicon. That's a little much. You have died, and you can stand around and say apothnesko and act like you know Greek. I don't know Greek. I just go to these websites that tell me. It means literally to die off and to cease to have vital functions, whether at an earthly or transcendent level. And it's used 111 times in the New Testament. Pretty big deal, this word, that I have died, that death to sin, death. And if you do the study on that, all of a sudden, those little words, I don't understand you have died, they have meaning to me in life. I have died. I've been buried with Christ. I'm a new creation. All of it kind of works together. All right, you get the picture. So that's some how-to. Is that all right? All right, so anybody can do this. Do not be intimidated. Let me give you a few tips. If you're going to study scripture, number one, slow down. I'm trying to slow down because I speak too fast when I know I got a lot. Slow down. It's so much better. If there was some rule that we had to read two chapters a day, like I'm out on that. I'm just not going to be able to digest that. And then it's a homework and I'm just trying to get through it. Just slow down and let God do what he wants to do. This is true of scripture and just in life. He rarely is able to do what he really wants to do in us when we're in a hurry, right? So I'm gonna work my Bible study in from 8:30 to 8:35. I don't know how that works relationally, right? If I'm saying, hey, my wife, Kelly, you know, we got to spend some more time together. We're going to be empty nesters in 6 months. Can I get 5 minutes with you? Maybe take you to coffee, right? You don't get anywhere in 5 minutes, right? So you got to have some time, but just slow down. 5 minutes is better than no minutes, right? Season of life matters. I understand that. But part of slow down is just slowing down expectations. You know, we did some research on this series to see what was going out there in the seats with the real people. And one of the things that kept coming back, different people, different ages, different spiritual maturity, is they put so much pressure on themselves when they study scripture. Because they just want these, I call them nuggets or takeaways. They just want this aha moment. God's going to just send this lightning bolt, and it's going to be amazing. And God does that. But when he doesn't, there are some of us that assume, well, I must have done something wrong. It's my fault because I didn't hear from God today, so he's not speaking to me. He must be mad at me. I must be doing this wrong, right? Put all that to the side. God loves it that you're seeking him. He will honor that. Sometimes he honors that with a real clear speaking to you. Sometimes it's just the consistency of showing up and saying, I'm chasing you in relationship. And there may be something God puts in you in that study that you don't even know is in there that comes out 6 years later. Like, he's really good at blessing. So many people try. I'm going to do this week. I'm going to study the word. And then it's not amazing at first, and they just kind of trickle away because it's like, well, it didn't do it. It didn't work for me. It's not that it didn't work for you. It's that you didn't stay with it. And he will show up. I promise you, he loves to show up in his word. You just got to slow down and not put too much pressure on yourself. Two, keep it fresh, right? I don't know what people mean when they say that. Sometimes, you know, I've heard a pastor say, you know, you got to keep your time with God fresh. And he used the analogy, if you're dating your girl and you take her to the same restaurant every Tuesday, same time, same restaurant, that gets kind of stale. And my answer was, well, it depends on the restaurant, right? And it depends on what we're doing. If we're reading the Bible, right, then it can get stale and old in a hurry. If the God of the universe that said, let there be light, and there was light, if the God of the universe that was so overwhelmed with love for us that he would sacrifice his own son so that we could have life on this earth and forever, if the God who does know your name and the reason you look like you look is because he wanted you to look that way, if that God wants to sit down and talk with you, it's never going to get stale. You just got to remind yourself of who you're sitting with. And in that, yes, keep it fresh, right? Maybe you need a change of scenery. When we were in the early pre-launch stage of church planning, we were living at my mom's, and my office many days in that phase was a library. And trying to do this intimacy with God in a library was a challenge. It wasn't the best environment. So You got to switch it up. You got to figure out what works for you. I guarantee you what works for me doesn't work for you because it is a personal relationship. So figure out what that means for you. Third, memorize. We could do a whole series on the power of scripture memory. It's so powerful. Our brains, and somebody said, well, I can't memorize scripture. The same dude that tells me I can't memorize scripture, I'll start a lyric and he'll complete the lyric from 30 years ago because it's locked in. Our brains are amazing things. Sometimes you need to put scripture to music, which there's ways to do that. You can memorize scripture, maybe some more than others, but nobody in this room is unable to memorize scripture. Sometimes saying things out loud is just amazing. I worried about my memory after my health struggle with a stroke 2.5 years ago almost. And I went to the doctor. I was like, Kelly, please tell me. If I'm forgetting stuff, like, you're going to tell me, right? She's like, you're fine. So I went to the doctor. I don't sure. And they said, "What? Give me an example of something you're forgetting." I said, I'll give you a perfect example. Before, when I would get those security codes, like I'm trying to get in an app and they send you the 6-digit, I just looked at it once and boom, put it in. I said, now, doc, like I have to go back. I remember the first 3 digits. Then I have to go back and check the text again because I forgot the security code. And Dr. So Rude said, that ain't a stroke. That's called age. So not for no help of the doctor, I started doing something. I'm batting 1,000. I've not forgot one security code since I started doing this. I'll say it out loud. I get the security code, 356-410. Then I go wherever. I've not forgot it once because God created us that when we say stuff out loud, type, write stuff, read stuff out loud, it just stays with us more. So part of scripture memory is we don't know. We know in other parts of our world, not back in the day, today, this will get you in jail. Owning one of these will get you imprisoned, right? We better have a plan, right? How, when it's in you and nobody can take that away from you, there's so much power in that. We want to memorize scripture, even if it's small, right? Just little, that counts. Four, do it in community, right? We need to hear what other people think. We're so excited about this small group. So we're doing this series of how to build a relationship with God, and then we're going to actually study the Bible together in small groups. So we're going to talk about this and the training, and then we're going to sit down and actually do this together and work it out. And when that happens, you're going to be sitting in a small group with somebody else. You've read the exact same scripture they did, the same verses during the week. And you're going to sit down, and they're going to say something like, yeah, this really jumped off the page to me. And you're going to be like, what, is that even in there? I didn't read that. Right? Because why? Because they have a different perspective, because the Spirit's doing different things in them, and we learn from each other, and we balance each other. There's also probably going to be somebody that says something crazy. Like, yeah, I can't believe it. God said that. It's like, no, we have leaders in the group say, no, he didn't actually say that. But we're just better together when we have perspectives and really dig in and learn from each other. So building a relationship with God, there's a lot of ways to do it. But man, scripture, he will reveal himself to you. He wants to. That's why it's not, we got 2,000 years of history since Jesus was on earth, and then scripture came, and then eventually it got printed all those years later, right? We don't have very much percentage of that where it was accessible. It's never been more accessible. There is just no reason. There was a long time in church history where people in charge didn't want you to know what the Bible said. Let me tell you what it says, and you have no way of knowing if it's true or not, right? That's not the case now. You're responsible to know what God's word says. He wants to speak and communicate with you through it. I just want to end with some of you came to see Denzel today, because I mentioned that again. That was a joke from last week. But I want to share about anxiety as it relates to scripture. And there is a scripture that says, don't be anxious. And I preached that message before. If you've never struggled with anxiety, let me just remind you of how unhelpful it is to go to somebody with anxiety and says, don't be anxious, right? We'd rather you pray for us and say nothing, because there's just nothing helpful about don't be anxious when you're anxious. Well, doesn't scripture say that? It doesn't say just that, right? We got to zoom back. So I want to share with you this section of scripture that has been life-changing to me. This is the power of the word of God. I know God loves me. I know he's with me, but he gave me this, and I hope it helps somebody today. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice, right? Paul repeats himself in the same verse. Like sometimes you say something, you go back at the end of the letter and say, oh, remember it? No. He just said it, and he wants us, it's that important that he say, hey, let me say that again, even though I just said it. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? I thought I was supposed to rejoice in my stroke. It doesn't say rejoice in your challenge. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And there's something about rejoicing in the Lord that can happen no matter what you're going through. He's that good. How do we rejoice in the Lord? Rejoicing in the Lord is who he says you are. Who I am is completely wrapped up in whose I am. And whose I am is God's. And that doesn't change no matter what I'm going through. So I have joy, and there's something that no human can take from me. I can rejoice in what God says when he looks at me. And I can do that always. And Paul said it, let me say that twice. Rejoice in the Lord, because that matters in anxiety and fear. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The more you rejoice, the more gentle you get. When I'm getting in at, which I've been known to do, I can be harsh. When I start drifting towards harshness, I need to rejoice in the Lord. The more I focus and meditate on who Jesus is and what he's done for me, the more gentleness shows up. And then the Lord is near. That's the answer, right? We talk about how much we love the presence of God. Well, God's presence is everywhere, but it's different. When we come together to worship, God's just good to us, and we have all kinds of phrases for that, and filling us or filling the room, his presence. Sometimes you can just feel it. He's always there, but sometimes he blesses us to allow us to feel his presence. Often when I'm sitting with God and just meditating through and reflecting on scripture, I can feel him there with me. And when the Lord is near, guess what? I'm not anxious, because I can feel that the most amazing power, love, all those things is actually present. We want you to feel that. And this scripture reminds us that the Lord is near. It's that, those two verses that lead into verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. That takes away all of our excuses. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So because the Lord is near and we can rejoice in the Lord no matter what, because of that, don't be anxious about anything. What do we do? I don't want to be anxious, and you telling me not to be isn't helpful. So what do I do with it? In every situation, there's a lot of situations in the room, in every one of them, by prayer and petition, I want to bring my request to God with thanksgiving. I heard a pastor say this years ago, and I thought, that sounds cute, but I don't know if that's true. He said, our brains are unable to be both grateful and anxious at the same time. I was like, how would you know that? Right? Then I started doing the research, and there's actual scientific evidence. In fact, there are non-Christian doctors who are not trying to make a theological point that have written and said the way, this is how they say it as non-Christians, they say something about the construction of the brain, there are neuron pathways that do not allow the emotion of gratitude and the emotion of anxiety to coexist. Now, did Paul wrote that? When he wrote that, did he know that? He knew nothing about neuron pathways. There was no such thing as a neuron. But it wasn't Paul writing. He was carried by the Holy Spirit. And now science is catching it. We're not scared of science. We love science because science just continues to build our faith that God knows what he's talking about. That when we bring our prayers and our petitions to God with thanksgiving, it helps us with our anxiety. In the next verse, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me come back to that. I want to end with that. Next verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, think. That's our training. It's how we think, the renewal of the mind, what you think about, right? How to build a relationship with God through Scripture is you think on Scripture. You think about the truths of God. You flood your mind with the right things, the true, noble, all of those things. Now go back to verse 7. The peace of God, which we all want, which transcends all understanding. I'm just a living testimony of that verse. My struggle, I did a message series on anxiety because my story before November of 22, I knew anxiety existed. I never felt it. So the best the neurosurgeons could explain to me is after your brain goes through what my brain went through, it rewires itself and it kind of restarts. And it just does some weird things to your system. So for me, I had fears, and my body responded. Thank God I didn't have a lot of deficits or symptoms that I could have had from the stroke. My main symptom was my headaches, and my body just, man, it couldn't handle life. Like when things happened, my legs would get like jelly, like numb, like I'm getting ready to get on a roller coaster. I couldn't eat. I was nauseous for months. I was scared of things that intellectually I knew there's no reason for me to be scared of that, but I was. And trying not to be wasn't doing much for me. So I preached a message about the peace that helped me so much. There's people in this room that God placed in my life that had had strokes before I had that just walked me through some things. People, prayer, pills, And later, a counselor in our church came and said, hey, can you not say pills and say prescription? Because that's just a better word. So let's change that to prescription. And then I should add procedure because I didn't have that. But there are people in real life that doctors are good, and sometimes surgery is good. Sometimes prescriptions are good. They allowed me to survive a season where I just don't know if I would have survived without the stabilization. So don't run from that. Ask people that know what they're talking about. Ask your doctor, not your pastor, about some of those things. So those things help me. They help me survive anxiety. But it's this that have helped me win against anxiety. I survived, and now, praise God, I'm on 1 5-milligram blood pressure pill, and that is it as far as prescriptions. And the reason is not my grit. The reason is the relationship with Jesus. And I quoted the scripture. I memorized the scripture. And it took years. I don't say that to discourage you. I'd say that to encourage some of you that are in the fight and enduring. For years, I just had to keep coming back as a relationship. Rejoice in the Lord always. He said it twice. I'm going to rejoice. Let my gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, David, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And someday, verse 7 is going to be true, that the peace of God, which I cannot explain to you, it just happened. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. But sometime in the last 3 months, I just told Kelly, I was like, I got peace. Everything's not okay, but everything's going to be okay. I know it. That's peace. Everything is going to be okay. I'm sure of it. In all kinds of levels of my life. And I'm sure of it because Jesus is holding my hand. I love that song because he's just like, I got you. And he's shown that through scripture. Without those few verses, I'm just hoping. And I'm telling you, he's good. But I know he's good. If you want a faith testimony, let him show up your life in scripture. My goal today is that you'd leave here and you'd run to your car and open scripture. Right? Because you can't wait. If God, would God really meet me? He will really meet you in his word. No matter your Christian education, no matter your spiritual background, just start slow. Start with one of the gospels. You don't know where to start? Mark and Luke are my favorite, but that doesn't matter. In a few weeks, we're all going to do Colossians together. So we just invite you into that and be so excited that there's a God who knows your name and he is going to talk to you. He's going to talk to you through his word. Watch him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that we don't have to guess what's real and true. God, we sing so many songs that we did this morning. We sang so many songs about not being moved or shaken. God, this world, this culture seems to be moving underneath our feet. Thank you that we can count on you, that you're solid. Thank you that your truth is always true and will always be true. We can build a life on it. God, I pray there'd be excitement in Relentless Church about relationship development, that you're going to build relationships as we trust your word as your word. God, if we were to get, as crazy as this would be, God, if somehow we would all get a personal email from you today, God, I know how excited we would be. I pray that we would believe that you can communicate personally with us in a lot of ways, but especially through your word. I pray for this Colossians study, God. I pray for our leaders that are going to lead these groups. I pray for homes, that people would volunteer their homes to host those homes, or host those groups. And God, as we get closer to that in March, that you would just teach us in such beautiful ways from your word, that you would build the confidence in Relentless Church, that you speak and your word is actually your word. We pray and go in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.